Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the only show that doesn't care about ratings, Witness Radio, with your host, Ryan Muniak.
Welcome to the only show that doesn't care about ratings, because our sole purpose is to save souls on purpose. Go to the updated witnesstalkradio.org for more episodes, now with 10 different syndication options. We're also on Facebook. Recently, people around the nation celebrated April 20th by smoking marijuana, simply because the abbreviated date is 420. That is, of course, in reference to an old police code for marijuana usage. As Christians, should we be partaking in the Weed Day celebration? Here's an excerpt from Got Questions Ministries.
You're listening to Witness Radio.
The Bible does not directly address any form of illicit drug use. There are no express prohibitions against cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, or methamphetamines. There is no mention of marijuana, peyote, magic mushrooms, or acid, or LSD. Nothing is said about huffing, snorting, dropping, smoking, shooting, licking, or any other method of ingestion. This is not to say, however, that recreational drug use is permissible. Illicit drug use is an extremely effective way to destroy your health, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. Marijuana, while being the least harmful of all illicit drugs, is still potentially lethal. Marijuana enthusiasts take comfort in the fact that, unlike most other illicit drugs, it is seemingly impossible to fatally overdose on weed by means of normal consumption, that is, by smoking it. But this does nothing to diminish the potentially fatal risks of lung cancer, emphysema, and other forms of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease caused by marijuana smoke. While marijuana can be ingested without smoking it, thereby eliminating these risks, there still remain negative physiological and psychological consequences, including damage to the reproductive system, the immune system, and cognitive ability. As Christians, our bodies are not our own. We have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 19. Having bought us with his own life, Christ has delighted to create in us something entirely new, something somewhat bizarre. By indwelling us with his Holy Spirit, he has turned us into organic temples of sorts. So now, caring for our health is not just a matter of good stewardship, it is a matter of reverential piety. To pollute or harm our bodies is to desecrate the house of God, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. This is both wondrous and terrifying. Another biblical principle concerns our susceptibility to deception. As fallible creatures, we are prone to delusion. And since we are the objects of God's intense affection, his enemies are our enemies. This includes the enemy, the devil, the father of lies, John 8, verse 44, a most formidable and determined adversary. All of the apostolic exhortations to remain sober-minded and alert are designed to remind us that we must be vigilant against the wiles of the devil, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, who seeks to ensnare us through deception. Sobriety is also important for prayer, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, as is obedience to God, Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 17. As for drug addiction, not all illicit drugs are physically addictive. Nevertheless, they are all psychologically addictive. While most people are familiar with physical addiction, the progressive condition whereby the human body becomes physically dependent upon a drug in order to function properly, psychological addiction is less well known. Psychological addiction is an enslavement of the mind, often characterized by obsessive tendencies and a lack of desire to quit. While physical addiction brings the body into subjection, psychological addiction brings the will into submission. Users tend to say things like, "I could quit if I wanted to, but I just don't want to." This attitude tends to ensure a long-term pattern of drug use, whereby users become devotees in defiance of a very poignant biblical principle. The fact is, no one can wholeheartedly serve two masters, Luke 16, verse 13. Any time spent kneeling before the God of drugs is time spent with your back towards the God of the Bible. In summary, The Bible teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2, verse 12.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
Dondre, we're on the campus today. We're talking to people about April 20th, 420. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that?
I won't lie about, you know, everybody likes to smoke on 420, so that's really the first thing that comes to mind, you know, especially on social media. You know, it's really promoted a lot, so how can you not think about that first?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, just for clarification, for those who are totally out of the loop,
right.
Smoking what?
Marijuana.
Oh, okay. And DeAndre, right? DeAndre?
Dondre.
Dondre. Dondre. Okay. So Dondre, gonna put you on the spot, man.
Okay.
You a pothead? You smoking the reefer?
Si, senor.
All righty. So, why do you smoke marijuana? What are the benefits to you?
A big reason why I use, because I'm really not like a big eater. I'm not a big guy. So it really kind of helps me eat. But other than that, though, you know, I just don't really see it, like, as a bad thing. So, you know, me, a lot of people do it. So it's kind of hard not to do it.
Gotcha.
Kind of. Just like drinking. Like, yeah, underage drinking, you know. Like, they don't – everybody's underage here, you know, and everybody's still going to drink. They don't care, so.
Okay. So even though it's illegal, as long as enough people are doing it, it's okay?
No, it is illegal. I just feel like, you know, I feel like everybody has their beliefs. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people don't believe in other than just smoking marijuana. So, you know, I won't say it's right and I won't say it's wrong. You know, I'm just, you know, what's my opinion anyways? Everybody's still going to do it or there's people that's not going to do it. So that's really just how I feel. I'm not like that type of person to say, like, yeah, you should, you know, do this and do that, because everybody has their issues, everybody has their problems, and, you know, if you just go and say somebody has an issue off, you know, smoking marijuana, like, look at your life, what are you doing, are you perfect, you know, that's how I feel, but.
Let me ask, does it, the effects of marijuana, does it mess with your head at all, do you see hallucinations, anything like that?
No, not no hallucinations, it ain't no drug like that, if you want to call it a drug. I mean, it really just, you know, at the end, it'll make you tired. It'll make you really hungry. You know, you'll get sleepy. You'll sleep real good. That's about it.
Do you think it impairs you at all? Like, you were to smoke some marijuana and then go driving. Do you think that it impairs you, like alcohol would?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be different, like, if you first started off. You know, if you, like, if it was your first time, you're like, yeah, I'm just going to go drive. Like, no, like, you should calm down. But, you know, there's a lot of people that been doing it. You know, I've actually started my, like, just in college. That's when I first started smoking. I know people that's been smoking way longer. So, I mean, I really, it really depends on your tolerance. And, you know, I mean, it's not that, you know, it's not crazy.
Do you think that it's, over time, that it loses its effect and you need to smoke more to get that same buzz?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
So I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, you're on the college campus. You've admitted that you haven't really smoked marijuana except for on the college campus. Or that's when you started. I want you to think for a minute about your parents. Okay? Think about your parents. Now imagine, I won't be using your last name on the radio, but imagine they happen to flip to this radio show and they heard you.
That's what I was actually thinking about, but...
What would they say? What would they say about you admitting to smoking marijuana?
You know, you need to stop. That's really their only issue with me. You know, I won't, you know. You know, they feel like I need to stop, calm down. I have calmed down. Not as, you know, as much as I used to, but probably say the same thing like they always do.
So now,
I don't think anybody's parents would say, yeah, go smoke some marijuana, you know?
What if you're the son of Cheech or Chong?
You know, they might not care, you know? They've been doing it their whole life, but I feel like when I have kids and when I get older, I totally wouldn't approve of it just because it does, you know, it can open some doors to certain things and just, you...
Explain that a little bit.
Some people are like, oh, what can get me higher than this? You know, I feel like, you know, that's anybody. So, well, not anybody. That's just how some people are. Like, you know, what can get me more higher than this?
Like you?
Nah.
No? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's real good, yeah.
I'm assuming you're kind of at least halfway through, maybe a junior?
Yeah, I'm actually a junior. I got a year and a half left, so.
Because I know people in freshman year who started doing that, and they left. We never saw them again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, going back to your parents and everything, what type of belief system or worldview system did they raise you up in?
You know, I'm a Christian, and really what my parents feel about marijuana, they just feel like that you shouldn't have to use certain things, you know, to, you know, just like to make you feel some type of way. Like, you know, some people smoke like to get over stress or something, you know, or if somebody's, you know, bugging them out, people would drink too, you know. So my parents was really like, you know, like on, you know, if you really have a problem with something, you know, get on your knees and pray. That's what God is, you know, God is here every day. He listens to everything, you know. So that's really what I was brought up on. My parents has never smoked. My parents don't drink. So, you know, it's...
So you say that you're a Christian. What does that mean exactly?
I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe there's a God, and I believe there's a Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
So now... you said Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Can you give me an example of something that would be a sin?
You know, just like disobeying your parents, you know, or stealing, lying. You know, that's the main ones, lying. Everybody, you know, lying is a sin. It's not, you shouldn't lie.
I'm going to put you to the test. All right, you named, I think it was actually three of the Ten Commandments, disobeying your parents, lying, and stealing. So, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen?
No, I have not stolen. I will give you that. I have not stolen. I'm really big on stealing, so yes.
Are you sure about that? Even when you were a little kid?
Yeah, even when I was a little kid. I'm the only child, so my mom really sheltered me a lot. And it was really just, you know, at first it was just me and my mom, then she finally got married. So, yeah, I'm glad I have not stolen anything before.
good. So now, disobeying your parents. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure everybody's disobeyed their parents before.
I mean, just admitting that you smoke marijuana and you know your parents wouldn't approve of it, that's dishonoring your parents.
Right, yeah, but this also a part, like, you know, once you get a certain age, you make your own choices. You know, your parents can't make all your choices. And I still respect my parents. I love my parents. And, you know, like, I mean, nobody's perfect, so, but everybody makes their own choices, especially when you get to a certain age and, you know, you've been on your own for a little bit, you know, you start to make your own, you know, your own choices and kind of do what you want. That's the, what you get for growing up.
Dondre, you said that you've admitted to lying and dishonoring your parents, which is breaking a couple of the Ten Commandments. And, you know, the Bible actually says if you break one law, it's like breaking all of them. You know, and you say that Jesus died for your sins, but if you're continuing to live in that sin, are you really forgiven of them?
Well, that's between you and God. You know, you can't, if you're doing the same sin and you keep on coming to him saying, you know, you're sorry, like, I won't do it again, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Just like you said, do you really feel like you're asking for forgiveness, knowing as soon as you ask for it, you're going to go do the same thing? You get what I'm saying? So, you know, that's different. Now, for me, you know, I like, for smoking, for instance, you know, I won't come to God and say, I'm sorry for smoking, I won't do it again, and then go do it. I will say, because that's actually something I'm working on, like I said, I've calmed down. I tell him, I say, help me get better not smoking. Help me, you know what I'm saying, put something else, you know, make me think of something. Not try to think of, like, if I want to smoke, you know, okay, I need to just go do some homework, you know. Bring me ideas for me to stop this, you know, to stop smoking, you know, calm down, you know. And that's just with anything, like, just like with school, you know, I say, you know, please, you know, keep me motivated, you know, help me get up for class, you know, just, you know, put something in my head that's like, you know, you need to get up for class and go to class.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it almost sounds like God is like a genie that you pray to, and you just ask him to help you whenever you need
it.
Okay. But, I mean, do you just go to him when you need something, or, you know, do you go to him to praise him, to worship him?
You're supposed to praise him in the good and the bad.
Okay. You know. Do you do that?
Yeah, I've had, like I said, I'm the only child. My mom, I'm a spoiled little boy, so I'm not gonna lie, like, I've gotten stuff. My mom has taken care of me. My mom is a great woman. I go to college, a great campus, you know. I'm still sitting here living, breathing the day. Before I go to bed, I pray. When I wake up every morning, I pray. Have to pray for people around you, pray for your friends, pray for your family.
Well, it's good that you pray. How about your Bible? Do you read your Bible every day?
Sorry. Well, not every day, no. I read my school books every day. This is the
angle. Yeah, so I don't read my Bible every day, but I do read my Bible, though.
When was the last time you read it?
About 3-4 days. Well, no, Sunday. Sunday. Yeah, Sunday.
In church or just on your own?
Yeah, I was in church.
Okay. When was the last time you read your Bible by yourself, like not in church?
Like, I have... You know, if you have daily, like, Bible apps, they'll send you quotes every day. So that's how I read the Bible every day. And then usually sometimes my mom will send me devotions over email. But I usually get my text through Bible. I have them send me a text every day. That's really good. If you want, you know, if you want to read a scripture every day and don't want to have to worry about going and looking, you know, just set it on your setting. They'll send you one every day.
Very cool. So, Dondre, you know, something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 was, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think that verse means?
To me, you know, if you really don't have a personal relationship with God, just like you said, if you just praying to him, like if you want something bad, you know, just certain times, not every day. If you're not, you know, some people say you shouldn't have to go to church every day, but I don't feel, I disagree with that, because how else can you get the, you know, your word for the week, or, you know, just that comfort? Church just isn't church, you know, it's a comfort, it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? You get what I'm saying, so,
Let me ask you this. I want to go back to the sins again. You know, you were talking about how you've sinned before.
You're born into sin. Everybody's going to sin. I just want to throw that out there. So, you know what I'm saying? You sin. He sins. Everybody that you see sins off rip. You know what I'm saying? You can't. There's nobody perfect here. Not even the president. You know what I'm saying? Even the president sins. So, you know, sin, you're going to get it. You're born into sin. It says that in the Bible. You're born into sin. You will sin. There's nobody perfect but Jesus. That's it.
So, how does someone get forgiven of their sins? How does someone go to heaven?
Well, like I said, it's more than just asking for forgiveness. It's about having a personal relationship with Christ. So,
how do you do that?
So, You know, you got to read your Bible every day. You know, not every day. You just got to read your Bible, know the word. So, you know what I'm saying? Know what makes God angry and know what makes God sad. You know what I'm saying? You will want to go to church every Sunday. And like I said, praise him in the good, praise him in the bad. Praise him when you just feel like praying, just pray. You know what I'm saying? When you just feel like, man, I need somebody to talk to. You don't got your mom, you don't got your dad, you know, family, whatever. God's there with you all the time. You can pray anytime you want. I mean, like, I'll catch myself, you know, I like to pray before my test. Anytime, like, my... Yeah, it really is.
Let me ask.
My grandmother, you know, a month ago. And so, you know, we were really close. So I always, you know, I tell God, you know, just, you know, keep my heart, you know, loving, you know, don't keep me sad all day, because being sad isn't, you know, that's not good. So, really the main thing is, it's more than just, you know, yeah, I read the Bible, yeah, I go to church, but if you're not going to church accepting the word, if you don't have, like, a personal relationship to God, like if somebody just came and was like, hey, did you pray today? Like, you should off rip say, yeah, like, yeah, I pray as soon as I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. Like, how can you not pray over that? There's people that die in their sleep every day.
So, you know, Jesus said that you have to be born again in order to go to the kingdom of heaven, to go to heaven. Have you been born again?
Yeah, I've born again means, you know, basically you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That is what being reborn is, and you know that you're not like everybody else, and you have a rule book now, like the Bible. That's like your rule book. You know, you don't just go do whatever you want. Like you have compassion. You think about others. You know what I'm saying? You pray for other people. You don't think about yourself. You know, isn't that, once you start, you know what I'm saying? Once you do that, it's, you know, you live a whole new life. You're not even living the life before you was, because you look at things different. You respond to things differently. You know.
Yeah. You know, Jesus explained it. He said, you know, when you're born again, that you would have a changed heart. You would have a new heart with new desires. You would no longer desire to do the things that are wrong, that are sinful, but you would desire to do the will of the one who saved you. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, at the beginning we were talking about things that you do, and it was a little concerning. Mm-hmm. You know, not trying to say that you aren't a Christian, mm-hmm. but it was definitely concerning.
Yeah.
And I... You know, I would like to admonish you, Dondre. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine yourself,
yeah,
to make
course.
Sure
yeah.
that you're in the faith.
Yeah,
okay?
And I totally agree with you, but you have to understand, how long did Jesus' disciples follow him?
All their lives.
Okay, so they weren't perfect once they met him for one or 2 weeks, right?
Well, I'm not saying they're perfect.
I'm just stating a point. Even.
Yeah,
that yeah, exactly. He one of his own sold him out. You get what I'm saying? So you can't expect I don't expect nobody to be perfect, because
we're not God.
So exactly. So that's why you go to church every Sunday. That's why you pray every day. You build your faith every day, because that's all it's about. You gotta build your faith in that relationship with God. You gotta have that.
So now you talk about a relationship with Jesus. Has your relationship with sin changed?
Like you know, the devil always gonna come at you with something, you know.
Right.
And then he says it, once you do accept it, that's when the devil gonna come at you the hardest. So
you know,
I won't say my sins are different, but you know, I've had a lot of temptations.
Not your sins are different, but your relationship with sin is different. Like, you know, do you love to do the things that are wrong, like
looking with lust,
yeah, like looking at pornography or something like that?
Yeah.
Do you love doing that,
yeah.
Or do you hate that?
Yeah.
Do you hate your sin?
I have a huge conscience, so if I do something bad, it will stick in my head. So that's really how I am. Like you know, when you do something bad, and it, you know, it determines who you are, how you're going to handle it. And,
yeah, and you know, Jesus actually said in Mark 1:15, he said to repent, which means to turn away from your sinfulness, and to put. He said repent and believe the gospel, and you know, when he said believe the gospel, he didn't just mean believe it, you know, mentally. He said It meant to trust the gospel, to trust in Jesus, to trust what he did on that cross, dying on the cross for your sins and rising from the dead. You know, it also says that if you are continuing to love your sin, to live in your sin, then you are crucifying him all over again. And that's a horrible thing. So one last question, Dondre. What happens to people if they do not become a Christian?
It's in the Bible. He says there's only two places you can go.
Okay. What are the we talked about heaven?
Yeah, heaven and hell. That's the only two places you can go. So
yeah.
that's all I'm gonna say.
There's actually a verse in Revelation. It says, I'll paraphrase, has like murderers and fornicators, sexually immoral people. It also says liars. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing to tell others how to escape that place?
Well, you know, I'll put my two cents in. But like I said from the beginning, I like to look in the mirror first. I like to make sure I'm right before I'm checking up on anybody else, you know. Like before I'm like, hey, are you you really a Christian? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? But hold up, on my side, like you said, like there's still some things I'm working out. So with me, like I said, I'll put my two cents. I'll help out anybody, you know. That's my heart, you know. But when it comes to, you know, just having a personal relationship with God, I'm trying to make sure I'm there first before I worry about anybody else. Because, you know, it ain't my job to take you to heaven. You know, it's my job to make sure I get there and make sure I do the right thing and make sure that, you know. Well, actually, that's not true. It is to spread the gospel. So I do kind of take that back a little bit. But you know what I mean. Before you worry about somebody else, you know, check yourself first. Make sure you know what I'm saying? You not sinning, which is...
Right.
You probably do got a couple of sins under your belt.
Absolutely. Like you said, we've all sinned. But, you know, and we're not supposed to, you know, judge people hypocritically. But we are supposed to warn people of the fire to come so that they can escape hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once we've turned from our sinfulness and put our trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross for your sins, and then he rose again, defeating death and hell, once we've done that, our sins are forgiven, and we're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, you know, even though we still sin, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to heaven at that point.
Like I said, as long as you have that, you know, you have that relationship, only you and God will know if you have that relationship. You know what I'm saying? So as much as you go around interviewing people, at the end of the day, it's between that person and God. If you know what I'm saying, you know, if you pray to him every day, and yes, that's a big deal. You should pray before you go to bed and when you wake up every day, just because it's a blessing to see another day.
Right. Okay. Dondre,
yes.
Sorry about messing up your name so many times,
okay.
But thank you so much for talking to me, okay?
Thank you, too. My dad is actually a pastor, but he's really, you know, he follows the Bible word for word, and that's all you can follow on. I mean, you know, he left it here for a reason, so, you know, that's... He really kind of gave me a checkup on, like, do you read your Bible? Like, I don't. Everybody should read their Bible every day. And, I'm really getting better. But, you know, that's a process of growing up, getting more mature, realizing what's right from wrong. And, you know, that's just the whole process of growing up. So
it's called sanctification, actually. Once you're saved, that's justification.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you're saved, it is called sanctification, where God and the Holy Spirit, they lead you into a more holy life,
mm-hmm.
where you are growing, continually growing in holiness. That's sanctification. And that's one of the big tests of our faith, is if we are not growing in holiness, we have reason to doubt whether or not we were really saved.
Yes. 100% agree with you.
You're listening to Witness Radio.
We see in many places throughout the Bible where it condemns drunkenness, but most people only apply that to alcohol consumption. Another term for drunkenness is intoxication, and I believe we can apply verses like Galatians 5:16-21 to drug use. So I urge you to stay away from marijuana and all other illicit drugs. Until next time, the fields are ripe for the harvest. So what are you waiting for? Get out there and share your faith. May God bless you.
Witness Radio has been brought to you by the Muniac family.